To me, that's what worship does. It causes our mind to go to a higher place. It causes our mind to focus. You know, Pastor Trish just told you a minute ago, you know, that the song we said, he has no rival, he has no equal. And so if he has no rival or no equal, neither do you. Because of who you are in, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And so fear can be captivating. Amen. I can't think that there's probably anybody in here who has not dealt with fear before. Sometimes it comes and goes. Sometimes it comes and stays. And sometimes we got to give it an eviction notice. I mean, no, fear needs an eviction notice. You got to get it out of there. Hallelujah. And so, you know, fear is not always bad. It'll make you run when there's danger. It can be a motivator. But on the other hand, sometimes it can control our thought process and our mind and our will and our emotions. But the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I've had to quote that to myself many times. Say, Lord, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. The title of our sermon this morning is called A Small Biscuit. So I apologize to all of you who are gluten-free or those of you who are low carb. How about that? And we're going to get started here this morning. But I want to start in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And so we're just going to jump in a little bit. Something the Lord just kind of dropped in my heart yesterday as I was pondering and thinking and asking the Lord what he wanted to share this morning. And Wednesday night in our Bible study, we talked about Elijah, the prophet Elijah. And you remember the scripture where the prophet Elijah prays for rain. And he pronounces there's going to be no rain for the space of about 3 years. Obviously, he's prayed it in reverse for us lately because we've been getting some rain. But so he prayed that there would be no rain for about space of 3 years. But then when he prayed again, the scripture tells us in James that Elijah, being a man of like passion as we are, prayed. And God held up the rain, but he also released the rain in the earth. And I love that scripture where Elijah prays for rain. The scripture says he bows down to the earth and he puts his head between his knees and he begins to pray for rain. But he begins to speak to the servant and he says to the servant, now you go look for rain. Right? And then the servant gets up to the mountain and what does he see? No rain. Right? No rain. And so he comes back and there's no rain. And you know, he looks again. And the prophet says to him, look again 7 times. And he said, in the 7th time, he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. All you men, hold your hand up in here. That's not very big when you're thinking about in the sky, right? He said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And when he said that, the prophet said, get yourself down, prepare your chariot, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And so he spoke to him. Let me know, that was a very small sign in the clouds that perhaps there may be some rain coming. But the scripture says that he said, get yourself down, prepare your chariots, because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. How many know it's not always what you see, but sometimes it's also what you hear? We have to have an ear to hear what God is saying to us. Prepare yourself, get yourself ready, because God wants to bring an abundance of rain into your life. Now, sometimes we think rain is a bad thing. You know, it's like, oh, it's rain again. But how many know when you've been in a drought season, the best thing you can see, smell, taste, feel is some rain coming into that dry, parched ground. And when God begins to release the rains, how many know the rains release the growth and it releases the abundance of the earth as it begins to spring forth. But what I love about that is the man of God did not allow the servant to stop after the 2nd or the 3rd or the 4th. Or the 5th, he said, go again, go again. How many know sometimes just because you don't see it doesn't mean God's not releasing it. And sometimes it's the perseverance to say, you know what, I'm going to look again. I'm going to look again because somewhere in the heavens there's a sign for me. And I don't believe it was just the man's hand like this. I believe that it was an outstretched hand, a size of a man's hand, God's hand saying, I'm about to special deliver you rain and abundance on the earth. How many are ready for an abundance of rain in your life? Hallelujah. Sometimes that comes through prayer. Sometimes that comes from going to the mountain and looking to the heavens and saying, God, I'm going to trust you until I see a sign. Do I see something happen? Do I see God do something in the heavens? How many know God does it in the heavens before he does it in the earth? What's happening in the earth is a reflection of what God's already released in the heavens. And I believe we live under an open heaven. I believe we live under the goodness of God. I believe we live under his blessings and not his cursings. I believe that we have connection with the Father. We have access to the mercy seat. We have access to the Ark of the Covenant. We have access to him who is our mercy seat. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? And so I love that. But when Jesus began to come and to share his ministry, one of the first sermons he preaches, it was out of Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So I'm going to go there real quick this morning. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I mean, no, he was in Nazareth. He's in his hometown. He's among the town folk that he grew up with. He went to the synagogue and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How many know it's the year of God's acceptance? You've been accepted by the Lord. You've been accepted in his favor. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now Jesus picks up the scrolls of Isaiah, and he's reading scripture to them. All right? And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. How many know that's Isaiah speaking out of the book of Isaiah? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are captive, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How many know that's good stuff right there? That's good news. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to minister to those who are hurting, broken, downcast, downhearted. But what happens is Jesus reads the scroll in the temple, and then all eyes are fastened on him. And if he just started right there, they could have been home on time, had lunch when they needed to, and all would have been well if he had just left it there. Right? We got our scripture, we did our routine, we went through the motions, and now it's time to go home. But the scripture says all eyes were fastened on him. Next verse. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, it would seem to me like revival would break out. Right? It would seem like that's a time for a shout. That would be time for an amen. Thank you, Jesus, right there. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me. He has sent me out to capture all those who have been captured by something else. I mean, we have a lot of people who've been captivated, but they're not captivated by the presence of the Lord. They've been captivated by a whole lot of other things. But I mean, Jesus' mission was to come and to seek and save everything that had been lost. Not just lost people, but everything that had been lost under the curse of Adam. He said, I'm on a mission. It's not mission impossible, it's mission possible. He has sent me, he has anointed me, he has sent me out to everyone who's ever been captured, who's ever been broken, who's ever been downhearted, who's ever been bruised. How many know bruising is an internal bleeding? When you're bruised, most of the time the skin's not been broken, but there's been something broken inside. There's been a bleeding from the inside out. And sometimes I think sometimes the things that are hardest to heal in our life are the things that are bruised, the things that are hurting, that are broken from the inside out. See, on the outside, we look like we're all put together. We look like we got it together, but on the inside, sometimes there's some brokenness, there's some bruising, there's some hurts and some things that how many knows that only the Holy Ghost can heal? Only the Holy Ghost can penetrate a heart that's been broken, a heart that's been bruised, a life that's been tormented or hurting. But the scripture says that Jesus said, I'm on a mission. I've been sent. I've been anointed for this. How many know not only Jesus was anointed for this, but you're anointed for this? And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now that don't seem like such a bad thing. That seemed like that's good news. Amen. Next verse says, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, wait a minute. Who is this again? Is this not Joseph's son? We know Joseph. We know him. He grew up in our town. Wait a minute. What is he saying? What is he talking about? Verse 23, and he said unto them, you'll say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. So don't throw me off the brow of the hill this morning for preaching this sermon. But how many? Jesus goes one step forward and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. But what their immediate response to his words were, hey, we know you. We know who you are. You're one of us. You grew up in this town. Aren't you Joseph's son? Aren't you Jesus of Nazareth? And yet you stand up and say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I mean, no, they could not receive what Jesus had to offer because they couldn't get past who he was. And he said, you would say to me, physician, heal thyself. He said, but I'm going to tell you, a prophet's without honor amongst his folk. I mean, sometimes the people who honor you the most are the people who've known you for the longest. Amen? You guys are quiet today. And so he's without honor in his own village. And what he does is he gives us two examples. The widow of Zarephath and Naaman the leper. And the two examples that Jesus gives are people who are not Jewish background. They're not born Christian. They were not the religious folk of the day. They were outside of the realm of the community that they were used to dealing with. I mean, you know, sometimes you may have to minister outside your comfort zone. You may have to minister outside the realm of what you can connect with or what you're comfortable with. And I've said this before, one of the powerful things I think when the scripture tells us about the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, you remember, and it comes into the room and the sound of it comes in as the sound of a mighty rushing wind and it fills the house. And the scripture says, and they began to speak in tongues, and it said, and everyone heard them in their own language. Now, I love that because I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in speaking in tongues and all those kind of things. But one thing that I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit will do will help you speak somebody else's language. Amen. It'll help you be able to connect with somebody that I may not understand your background. I may not know where you came from, but the power of the Holy Spirit in me or in you is able to speak to you in such a way that you'll understand and be ministered to, because that's how Jesus is. Amen. I mean, no, I believe that the Holy Spirit will help you speak kindergarten. I think it'll help you speak teenager. It might help you speak to somebody on your job that you don't relate to them at all. It may be able to speak to somebody who has a background that you didn't come from. It may help you speak somebody's language that is struggling in an area you've never struggled with. But how many know it does not change what the Word is? And the power of the Holy Spirit is able to speak into lives if we'll just be the vessel that will allow Him to use to just speak. Like, I may not know where you are. I may not have been where you've been. But I can tell you, I know the power of a saving power, the saving grace of Jesus, that's able to reach down to the lowest point. It's able to reach to the highest point, and it's able to bring you into a place and embrace you and change your life and give you a fresh start. I believe in that power. Amen. I don't necessarily have to have been where you've been to know you can come out of that place. And so he says that the prophet was sent to many people, but he was not sent to many in his own community. Why? Because sometimes we look at the vessel more than we look at the anointing they're sent in. See, I love it when the anointing starts to flow in the house and people realize that God can use them and God is stirring something them. And then you step out and minister and speak what God's saying to you. Amen? Because every one of us have that ability if we'll allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. You may just have the nugget somebody else needs. And so he gives them this demonstration, and he points them to this little widow woman in Zarephath. And I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. The title of my story this morning is A Small Biscuit, I told you. And we'll find out in a minute, and we'll go from there. 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 16, and I want to read it in the Message Bible. And it says, "And then this happened. Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand an obedient servant, the next years are going to see a total drought, not a drop of dew or rain unless I say otherwise. God then told Elijah, get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Cherith Ravine, or the brook Cherith, on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook. I've ordered the ravens to feed you." Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went and camped in the Cherith Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, "Get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you." So he got up and went to Zarephath. As he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, "Please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink." As she went to get it, he called out, "And while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat?" She said, "I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die." Elijah said to her, "Don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said, but first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought." And she went right off and did it. Did just as Elijah asked, and it turned out as he said, daily food for her and her family, the jar of meal didn't run out and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter exactly as Elijah had delivered it. I mean, sometimes you may be one biscuit away from increase, one biscuit away from a blessing. Now, the scripture says that the prophet went to this woman. God provided for him by the brook. He had water from the brook. He had ravens bringing him food at night, in the evening. Like, what a setup, right? What a comfortable place. How many are thankful for the times when you know God just divinely provided for you? Anybody in the house where God just met the need and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt God has met the need? This is a God thing. Hallelujah. Where he has placed you in a place of feeding you and giving you water from the brook. The word Cherith there means a cutoff place or a separated place. And I believe there's times in our life that God takes us to a place where we are separated or where we have to separate ourselves from some things or maybe even from some people. Amen? Because there's sometimes when you have to, even Jesus himself would say to the disciples, come apart and let's rest a while. Let's pull ourselves away from the multitude for a little bit because the demand, it's sometimes life becomes so demanding. Amen? And you just feel like there's pull on every side of you for something. And Elijah had to come to a place where he had to separate himself for a little bit. He had to pull himself away for a little bit and allow God to feed him and allow God to give him a drink of water before he was able to send him to the next place. I believe in being placed in a place where God can feed you, where God can give you a drink of water. But how many know sometimes in God's provision in our life and in God's plan in our life, if we're not careful, we get comfortable where we are and then we are tempted to stay right there when it was only a temporary thing that God was doing something in our life and feeding us and pulling us apart for a while because he needed to send us on to the next destination. And so he begins to speak to Elijah. He said, I want you to go to the widow in Zarephath. She's in Sidon. She's not in Israel. She's not one of the camps. She's not one he's normally connected to. How many know she's outside of his realm of influence and probably outside his comfort zone? But he said, I prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. I mean, no, God had already prepared the widow woman before Elijah had the need. Come on, somebody. You need to know that God is already making provision for you before the need ever arises. But if we'll heed his voice, even in the midst of where we are, we'll realize that God is taking us to a new place, a new destination, not only for our benefit, but that those that God's sending us to can benefit as well. Now, I love this because there's a widow woman there and she has a son. She's got up that morning probably fearful, afraid, and having no idea what's coming after today. Because she tells us in the story her heartache, right? Her fear, her despair. But the man of God says to her, Madam, could you fetch me a drink of water? Now, I don't know how long she had to think before she went to go get that drink of water because she's in a famine. She's in a drought. Let me just tell you, she doesn't have wells full of water, right? I don't know how long it took her to decide, I'm just going to listen to the man of God and I'm going to go get him a drink of water. But Elijah pushes it one step forward and he says, and while you're at it, go ahead and bring me a biscuit or bring me a little cake. Bring me a little bit of meal while you're going. And she stops and she looks at him and says, man of God, like I thought I could bring you the water. But in case you don't know it, I am out gathering sticks to build a fire. I'm going to cook what little bit of meal or little bit of bread I've got left and what little bit of water, and we're going to eat this, my son and I, and then we're going to die. That is our vision. That's what tomorrow holds for us. And he said, ma'am, go get me a biscuit. Go get me a drink of water. Because I'm going to tell you, as surely as I live, that your barrel's not going to go empty and your cruise is not going to go dry until God send rain upon the earth. How many know this woman doesn't know that Elijah has power to release rain in the heavens? And sometimes we think we have connections with people and they're just spontaneous and just happenstance and just happen to be there. But I'm learning more and more in my life that it's a God thing and that God strategically places us in areas and places where we have the ability to speak into the lives of people that their future seems doomed. She had no hope beyond today. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this before, as a mama, I could have given you my biscuit. I could have given you my drink. But I don't know if I could have given you my son's. Come on, somebody. I can give you my biscuit. I'll give you my drink. But when my son is one biscuit away from death, I don't know if I can do it. And you know, we sometimes look at circumstances, and here's what I want to tell you today. We sometimes think we have nothing in our house. We sometimes think we are down to our last bit of meal and last bit of oil, and I'm going to eat this and die because I don't see anything beyond where I am. But how many know God shows up and starts to speak increase in your life? And when he does, he said, you go ahead one more time. You give out of what you have, and when you give, I will tell you that I will not let your cruise go empty or your barrel run dry, because I am your source. I am your supply. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your savior. I am your comforter. I am your friend. You go ahead and give it out one more time. Because when you give out, see, sometimes we withhold things and we hold on to it and think, well, it's just a little biscuit. It's just a little meal, and we hold on to it. You know what happens when you hold on to a biscuit? It molds, or it gets dried out. How many know biscuits are only good right fresh out of the oven? And so we are tempted to hold on to what we have because it just makes sense. You know, in our finances and in areas of ministry and all the things in our life, you know, sometimes it just makes sense to hold on to it because you know I got that big bill coming up. Or you know that there, I might need it. It might be my rainy day fund. Or we sometimes hold out and think that it's all I got. But what God wants us to do is take it like seed and put it in some good ground and then add some water. And let, he said, one will plant, one will water, but what? God will bring the increase. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I have seen God bring increase in areas over and over again when we'll trust him because he's faithful to us. That when we submit what we have to him, he is able to bring back. The scripture says in Luke chapter 6, he said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men pour into your bosom. Another translation says, will dump it into your lap. Because with what measure you give, it will be given back to you. Now that scripture in context is actually talking about forgiveness. Yep, I did say that. Forgiveness. He's talking about forgiveness. How many know forgiveness sometimes is hard to give out in plenty? Now you're awake. Here we go. Hallelujah. I mean, it's to be able to give forgiveness and walk away. And sometimes if you're waiting on an apology, you're probably not going to get it. But the best thing you can do for yourself is forgive and walk away and let it go. Somebody told me not too long ago, she said, when you make the decision, just don't look back. Just keep on going. Because how many knows there's sometimes that you can spend all of your life looking backwards and all you'll get is a crick in your neck. But if you allow yourself to continually go forward and live in the future and not live in the past and allow God to direct your steps. But I believe when we give out forgiveness, He gives it back to us. When we give out in finances, He gives it back to us. When we give out in alms, He gives it back to us. When we give it out of ourselves in ministry, I mean, there are giftings in this house. There's not one person in this house who's not gifted, that doesn't have giftings and anointings and purpose. And when we allow God to take what little bit we have and multiply it and anoint it and use it, then He increases what we have. How many know sometimes we don't know it's in us until the demand is put on us? Till we have the demand put on you and you think, I didn't know I could do it. I didn't know I had it in me. But yet there was a need. There was a demand. How many are thankful for the voice of God that will speak in your life and put a demand on your life and say, go ahead and give it out. Go ahead and minister. Go ahead and testify. Go ahead and pray for that person. Go ahead and be what they need today. Because when you do that, He is faithful to fill you back up with plenty. Fill you back up with His anointing and fill you back up with the Word. Hallelujah. See, the thing of it was, this lady said, she says to the man of God, we're going to eat this, my son and I, and then we're going to die. You remember that? And so we said, you know, I could give you my biscuit, but I just don't know I could give you my son's. But obedience will make you do things that seem like it's crazy thinking. But yet God will step in and do the miraculous. But here's the deal. Her son was going to die anyway. Did you know that? Because if we go down and read I'm not going to read the next scripture. But if you go down and read the rest of the scripture, her son dies. But he dies while the man of God is still in the house. And so she says to him, man of God, what is this? My son has died, and I gave to you. And so the man of God takes the son, and you know the story, he takes him up and he breathes in him, and he ministers to him, and the son comes back to life, right? God brings healing in her son that she was afraid was going to die. But here's my thing. What if she had held back and said, you're not getting my biscuit. You're not getting my oil. You're not getting my water today. And he'd have moved on to somebody else's house. She may have robbed herself from the blessing that God wanted to do in her. But by doing it, she put some things in motion. I believe that we put some things in motion that while she's ministering to the man of God is ministering to her house, to her children, and to her son, and bringing life to everybody she's connected with. We think sometimes, oh, it's just one little decision. It's not that big a deal. But how powerful one decision, one choice can be in our life. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. How powerful that one decision in your life has been. Because sometimes that one decision, that one decision not only changes our lives, but it changes the lives of our household, or our children's, or our spouses, or our community, because somebody decided to stand up one day, make a decision, and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to set the standard. We're going to raise up a banner. We're going to set the marks so that the generations yet to come can be ministered to by the actions of what we do. I mean, no, our actions matter. The choices that we make matter. She thought she had nothing to give. She thought she was running on empty. Anybody ever been there? Feel like you were running on empty and then the phone rings and somebody needs you to come and minister and you're thinking, wow. But you get there, and the faithfulness of God is so powerful that He fills you up and gives you just what you need to minister in the time of need, because that's the faithfulness of God in our life. Hallelujah. How many of you know sometimes interruptions and detours in our life may seem like delay, but it may be just what you need to speed along your destiny? You ever had disruptions? You ever had delay come in your life? And you're like, wow, man, it just seems like it's not working for me. And sometimes it's just the very thing that God needs to move you on out of Cherith and move you on to a place of plenty and a place of abundance. But how many know we can give what we have to God and watch Him multiply it, just as He did the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And what are they among so many? But in the hands of Jesus, it was just what was needed. So I put down here in my notes, quit holding back and thinking it's going to kill you to relinquish your plans, your finances, your desires, your future, your giftings, your dreams. See, she thought if she gave what she had to the man of God, it was going to kill her. I mean, sometimes we just think there's some things that's just going to kill us if we do it or if we give it to God. But what if we ever just gave our dreams to God and said, God, here's my dreams. Here's my desires. Take what little bit I have. Take my little bit of meal, my little bit of oil, and multiply it and use it for your glory and what your plan is. Take my finances. Do we pray over our finances and say, Lord, this is what you've given me. I give it back to you. Multiply it. Divide it. Do what you want to do with it, Lord, to meet the need. Our desires, our future. If you're fretting over your future, maybe you're coming out of high school, maybe you're coming out of college, maybe you don't know which direction you're going in your life, maybe you don't know where your relationships are going, maybe you don't know where your next step is going to be, but how about if we just say, God, here it is. Here's my steps. Here's my house. Here's my dreams. Here's my future. I give it to you. And I want you to multiply it. I want you to speak into my life. I want you to increase what you've given me, God. Give me opportunity. Put the demand on my life. Put the demand on my giftings. Put the demand on my life, Lord, so that you might do with it what you desire to do. Here's my dreams. Here's what you've blessed me with. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to go for it. Sometimes you got to do some things by faith. Sometimes you just got to invest in the kingdom. See, I believe what this little lady does is invest in the kingdom. She invests in the man of God. She submits to the man of God. Now, we got to remember, she's not raised this way. She didn't come out of the Christian background, home, Jewish culture, all of those things. She didn't understand all of that. She came from idolatry. She came from a lot of idol worship stuff. But how many know when she heard the voice of God, she responded to it? Sometimes in our life, it's just as simple as saying, Lord, when you speak in my life, I'm just going to respond. I'm going to put myself in a position that you can speak over my life, speak over my children, speak over my kitchen, speak over my barrel, speak over my oil, and take what I have. And use it for your kingdom. Use it for the glory. Multiply it. Give it out, Father. How many know her decision to minister to the man of God is the very thing that saved her son down the road? Your decision to respond to God may be the very thing that saves your household. Your decision to respond to God may be the very thing that allows God to take your goals and your dreams and your job opportunities and all of those things and take you to the direction that He wants to take you. Guess what? 2 people got mentioned in Jesus' first sermon in the temple. First sermon He ever preaches in the temple. Who gets mentioned? A widow of Zarephath and Naaman the leper. What can we take away from that? Obedience. He sends Naaman down, the leper. You know Naaman the leper who is covered with the spots. And the little servant girl says to Naaman, he said, would God that my master knew the God of Elijah. That he knew the God of Israel. Because he could be healed of his leprosy. See, I love when the generation coming behind us knows. She was just a little servant girl, but she said, I know the God of Israel. I know that Jehovah Jireh would provide for him. Would to God that my master knew the God that I knew, because he could be healed of his leprosy. And the scripture says that they told Naaman, there is a man that can heal you of your leprosy. And Elijah doesn't as much as come out to Naaman to tell him. He doesn't come out and tell him what to do or do any hocus pocus or pray over him or anointing or make any big grand display. He said, just go tell him to wash. Just go down to the river and wash. And he said, wait a minute, though. Aren't there better rivers that I could wash in except these muddy rivers? And he said, if he would have asked you some big thing, you'd have done it. Sometimes it's trusting God, hearing God, responding to God in the little things, because as you respond to God in the little things, how many know he can get and trust you with the big things? Sometimes it's the littlest steps of obedience that'll get you the closest to what you need in your life. And as he began to respond to him, he said, go down and dip in the Jordan seven times. Go dip in the river seven times. And see, here the thing is, we saw that again with a servant that goes seven times. Naaman goes and he dips in the river. One, two, three, four. And what if he just stopped there? What if he just stopped at five? What if he just stopped at six? What if he stopped there and said, that man of God, he's out of his mind. But through simple obedience, six, seven. How many on the seventh time he was made whole and healed of his leprosy? It doesn't always have to make sense when God speaks into your life. And as a matter of fact, probably most of the time it doesn't. It may not make sense in our own natural mind or our own reality or our own carnal mind, but sometimes it's the simple steps of obedience when you take one step forward and God meets you right there. Some of the most powerful lessons in my life were learned by just being obedient in simple things. And one of those, and I've told you this story before, one of the simple things that God, I will never forget this, and this was a God moment for me as just a little child. And that was when I was learning to give and give a tithe to the Lord. And my parents, if you got money at our house, you know, it was a big deal because we didn't get money. We didn't get an allowance growing up. I told you we were allowed to live there. We were allowed to eat there. We were allowed to sleep there. That was our allowance, right? We didn't have money when we were kids. And so it wasn't often we got money and things like that. But when we did, my dad would say, now don't you forget to pay your tithes. You know, and he would always encourage us to pay your tithes, pay your tithes. So, that was just, if you got a dollar, you know, you put 10 cents in, you know, but you didn't spend the whole dollar. You knew that part of that was to go for your tithes. And I remember one time doing that, and my parents had told me that, and I just believed that God would bless me back for that, right? Because that's what you give, and God will bless you back. And I don't believe we give to be blessed back, but in God's plan, that's just how it works. We give because we're blessed. And so I remember putting my hands down in the sofa. Mom said, go pull the cushions off the sofa, get your hands down there and clean, you know, all the lint that falls out of the pockets and the stuff that all falls down into the cushions of your couches. Anybody cleaned your couches out lately? No, me either. But anyway, you put your hands down in there, and when I did that, I felt money down in there, and there was change down in the cushions of that couch. And when I reached in there and I had a handful of change, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I knew that God had answered my prayer. I knew God had made himself real to me, and I knew God had blessed me back because I had given to him, and he was blessing me back. And let me tell you, that's one lesson I never forgot. I'm like, I like how this works. God is so faithful to make himself real to you, but it's just the little things like that. It's the little steps and the little acts of obedience, even in ministering. And what I want to say to you sometimes is I think we're held back in ministering to other people because we think, I don't have anything. I just got this little bit of meal, and I just got this little bit of oil. It's all I have. And so we hold it back because we're thinking, well, that's not going to be a big deal to anybody. But what God's saying is, you, if you'll step out with that simple act of obedience, it may seem like a simple word, it may seem like a simple thing, it may seem like a simple ministry, but as you begin to activate that and step out in obedience to God, He will take your act of obedience and multiply it and minister to you and be able to touch people around you. But God will create something in you that is a reservoir. There's a reservoir that begins to build in you as God begins to pour into you and God begins to fill you up in areas and regions of your life that you say, wow, that's just God. How many know every morning when she went back to make another biscuit, she had to just say, wow, that's just God. Every time there was a demand and a time for a meal and that little boy needed to eat and she went back to the barrel and it wasn't empty, you just say, hey, that's God. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness in my life. Thank you, Lord, for lessons learned. Thank you for sending the man of God to my house. Thank you for the prophetic word that comes forth to us, for that word that strikes us here and say, that one's for me. I'm taking that. You know, every now and then I'll hear a word preached and I'll say, that one's for me. I'm taking that one. I'll just reach up and grab it. I'll say, that's for me. I'm going to take that. Hallelujah, because I believe as we respond to God's word, as we respond in obedience, and we take that first step, then God honors our steps, and He begins to bless us, and He begins to activate those things in our life. Hallelujah, and shows us His faithfulness. How many of you can raise your hand in here this morning and say, I can tell you of God's faithfulness in my life, of the times when God has moved and provided and done for us above and beyond what I felt like I was worthy for or what I deserved or what it just didn't make sense, but God. So many times I just have to say, it don't make sense, but God. So I'm thankful this morning that if we'll just be obedient in the small things, allow God to minister to us in the small things, then He knows He can entrust us with the big things. And God brings things that sees to it that there's an infilling in our lives. There's a constant source that we can impart to those around us and feed. I mean, her greatest thing that she did was she fed the next generation. As she fed the next generation, hallelujah, because of her act of obedience. I wonder sometimes if the decisions that we make in our life by a simple act of obedience start some things in motion that will change the next generation and those we care the most about. I'm not in it just for me. I'm not in it just for me. But that a generation yet to be born, the scripture says that a generation yet to be born could rise up and praise Him. Amen. That's His desire. Obedience and to small things will open up big things in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I believe it. Let's stand.